How is everyone doing? This is Sit Down with Sniper, and it is episode 25. I've been getting around to this episode, and I'm really glad that I could bring it to everyone today. So we have none other than Javon. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. How you doing, Snipe? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I can't complain. I know we've been trying to plan this for a little bit, so I'm glad we could actually finally sit down, talk about some things, talk about the losers and how you've been, brother. So
I'm glad too, man. It's been very overdue. It's been since NFTLA almost. So it's been quite some time for sure.
So I just want to ask you, man, whenever you first got into the scene, you were the artist. We all love the losers. We still love the losers. Where you've come from, and we'll jump into the whole beginning in a second, but I just want to know where, since you've started to where you're at now, how much has changed? Are you doing better now? Are things confusing to you? Where are you sitting at now?
Man, it's like a weird exchange to where, like, maybe, you know, existentially, I was a little more grounded before launching an NFT project. I was just, you know, doing art on the side, working my job, trying to be a good dad and a good partner. But I was broke. Now it seems like I got a little more liquidity. Like, we have a savings where, as everyone on Twitter knows, we're saving to buy a house, but like we have a savings and we have a little more of a resource. But now, like, I'm dealing with like being a public figure and, you know, this and that. It's a lot that goes on in like my mind as far as existence goes. And there was always this like subtle voice that kind of just whispers like nihilistic things to me, like, all this doesn't really mean anything and this and that. So I'm like, I don't know. I feel like my mental stability has kind of been tested in exchange for some money, like, you know. But things are pretty good. I was telling Sniper, everybody off camera, that, you know, I just got into therapy and, you know, working on self-help. You know, I've been eating yogurt for breakfast, Greek yogurt. You know, it's not that great, but, you know, it's good for you. You know what I'm saying? You got to keep the free radicals, you know, at bay. You feel me?
That's something for one. I need to start doing myself. I do not eat the best, and I know that is affecting my health. I'm always wondering why I'm tired in the middle of the day.
Yeah, probably, man. Because
I'm not feeding my body correctly. So,
and it affects your mind too, man. I mean, to the extent which I don't know, because I'm not well researched, but that's the, you know, just another journey that, you know what I'm saying, we just got to embark on at some point, you know, inevitably.
Man, see, after this, I'm gonna go chug a gallon of water and start getting on my routine stuff.
You know,
again. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
And we love to hear that you're actually doing the mental health. I mean, that's one thing in this space that I know a lot of people try to preach on, talk about mental health, but it is a serious thing. It is something that a lot of people may deal with, you know, rather it be they're upset, they're depressed. You know, you never know what's going on behind closed doors. You know, a lot of people, I've seen a lot of people, you know, put on, you know, they're happy, but like I said, you never know what someone could be dealing with. So I'm super happy to hear that, you know, you're doing what you need to make sure everything's right. And I know you're saving up for the house, so you're going to get that before too long, brother. I'm praying for you.
Love.
Absolutely. So for those that don't know who Javon is, we would say that you are the artist behind Loser Club. So could you give us a little background of your startings, and were you doing anything before the whole NFT scene?
Yes, of course. well, hello, my name's Javon. I am the founding artist for Loser Club, even though I will say there's a bunch of, you know, artists inside our community who are trying to, like, you know, get me up out of here. They're so talented. Our whole community is very talented. But yeah, no, I started off, well, I want to say I've been doing music and graphic design for like the past 12 years or so, since dropping out of university, just on an independent level. Once I dropped out of school, I was just bumming it on my mom's couch, and, you know, she started, you know, nudging me off the couch. So I got a second job and I moved into my own spot. Was like the only way to like really move the way I wanted to move was to just buy my own little tools and learn how to use the tool. So I picked up music production, audio engineering, and like I learned how to record, mix my own music, and then I learned how to make my own beats. And from there, I bought like a Wacom tablet and was like, okay, well, now that I am doing my own sounds, I might as well put my own art to it. So I was doing all my own like album arts. I was animating videos for my music and just trying to just, be this like modern day Renaissance man. And years go by, you get better and better. You start off, however, most people start off, they suck, but that's the, sucking is the first step to greatness. You know what I'm saying? You got to just practice and keep it going. That's the secret, everybody. Just keep going. But years passed by and I started getting a little, traction in the underground scene, and then my local scene started performing a little more. My art got better, and this and that. The pandemic happened when I felt like I was really about to start like performing more and putting myself out there more. And I kind of just watched the music industry kind of, fizzle out a little bit, like as far as like aspiring talent and artist development goes. So, I had already had been in NFT. I think I jumped in around summer 2020, like right during like the pandemic. I wasn't doing much in it. I kind of just was making my own little graphic art, still trying to do albums and have fun. But I was just doing my little one of one, sold a couple, seeing how the technology works a little bit. Didn't understand the communal aspect of it, so I didn't have too much success. And then probably a year plus in, I met this woman who just DM'd me on Instagram. This is the funny story I always tell people, but Miriam, she goes by Kylie the Jenner. She just random pretty woman with no followers, private account on Instagram, DMs me, asking me about my art. And I'm like, oh, you're a scammer. Like, there's no way you're a real, there's no way you're a real page. I get these fake, everyone gets them, these fake meet local singles, like DMs from, random spam accounts. So, but then like something told me like, wait a minute, they're not, trying to sell me anything. So I replied to her, and then I did my due diligence, tried to find her OpenSea, tried to find her Discord and her Twitter, and I found her. And seeing that she was like a Doodles Maxi, she like degen she was a degenerate. She had like hundreds of NFTs, and she just was a, I just watched her, thank God to decentralized finance. You know what I'm saying? I just watched what she was doing and how of the culture she was. And at this point, I had just started learning how to use Discord and started, building community. And I was like, okay, well, she's a cool person. At this point, I'm still just taking art jobs. Music's not really cooking. I'm still trying to, stay creative. But I'm just working my full-time job and just doing art jobs on the side for the holiday season. A couple while I'm doing these art jobs, she's like, you need to make an NFT project. You should do this. It wasn't even about like her. She was very much removed from even, partaking in what such a victory this could have been. She kind of just wanted to see me make this art project. And I was like, no, I'm good. I've never seen anyone look like me do it. Anything to that capacity successfully. She just kept, harassing me to do one. I took this one big, probably the biggest art commission I've ever received. I think the payout at the end was around like $80,000, and I'm broke. At this point, I'm making my little salary job making like 55K a year, which I guess it's broke in Seattle because like everything's expensive, but it's decent money. But no, like. And I'm just like, I'm trying to take this job, but we're going back and forth about the business part and the art part, and it just seemed to be very undervalued. And I consulted my friends in the space who told me that they were that I was, lowballing myself, and that these people who were in this space knew that I was lowballing myself and were letting me. So it just kind of just felt like I wasn't being valued as the artist I was. They spoke to me like I didn't prove concept, like I didn't create this thing. So we cut the business short and I never received that payout. I kind of just sacrificed that payout respectfully. I quietly bowed out. And as their project artist, and I just left them with the concept art that I did prior. And then from there, I kind of got a feel of for like how valuable my art is in this space. Like, even with that not working out, like just the tones and the voicings people were using, like, nah, like I have something here that people need or want, rather, because I don't, what do we really need? Need, it's a concept, right? But then at that point, Miriam was like, no, you're doing a project. And then from there, I was kind of just, I guess it restored a little belief in me, because I'm like, you know what, let's do it. And then just as we're cooking this art and we're, you know, building our community up, I'm getting closer to present day. Like, I start learning how, like, not only is my art kind of like cool in this space, but like the people needed me in this space almost, like, not like everything all encompassing. They needed my vision, but they also needed my voice. They needed my face. They needed my skin. They needed my our culture almost, you know, like there's just so much like that we brought as a collective project, and we've garnered the support of like-minded individuals. And like, it just blew up beyond anything I could imagine. I wasn't even expecting to sell it out, and it sold out. Like, I don't concern myself too much with like floor prices, but I care about it when it comes to like our community. And like, our floor price has been kind of stable through everything. Like, you know, like we've been kind of chilling, and just, I don't know, it's just been a wild ride. And I'm overall just grateful, because like present day, I don't have to wake up anymore at 3:30 to catch a 4:30 bus to get to work at 6 a.m. Like, I get to wake up naturally. I get to cook my daughter breakfast, and then I get to essentially just do what I love for a living. And I think that's like the overall victory for me personally, even though I'm dealing with whatever I'm dealing with in my mind and financially. But like, just the fact that I got another like degree of freedom, I guess, is kind of just been the best part. And yeah, that's me.
It's really wild to hear the journey that you've took, and it's beautiful itself as well, because it shows, you know, there's a lot of people in this space, and, you know, you call a spade a spade. There is plenty of people out here who are wealthy. There are plenty of people out here that before NFTs, they were still fine. So
a lot of the big crypt, from what I gathered when I first came into space and Rarible was chaos and it barely worked. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to cut you off, but like, no, a lot of the biggest people were just people who were big in crypto, and they just was like, oh, well, let's do some NFT stuff. Like,
exactly. I saw a lot of people shift from maybe one coin to another, or they had a lot stored up, so it was easy for them to jump into NFTs. Even people like myself, you know, I was very transparent that I started a year and a half ago with $2,000, and I've never put more into NFTs. I was just lucky and early at the time. But to hear that you've made that journey and you've done things, that's beautiful, man. So I do want to rewind a little bit and ask you, whenever you decided, okay, I'm going to do this project and whatnot, I'm sure it was more clear to you at that time that people really enjoyed the artwork that you put out and your vibe of who you are. So what was that feeling whenever going from someone, and we know we say this out of respect, you know, having to get that second job because you were wanting to get out of your mom's house, to then going to this loved artist that a lot of people were getting to see more and more of. How did that feel for you? Was that like surreal almost?
It was crazy, honestly. I've been doing art and stuff for like a little over 11, you know, 12 years. So like, right. The only thing that's kind of kept me going, not only, you know, it was just, you know, my fluctuating self-belief, but a lot of it was the affirmation. I think I've always gotten little glimpses or little like doses of like affirmation or positive feedback.
Right.
Just love here and there, and like small little, you know, drops enough to just not quit. Even before I, you know, turned down that big art job, like I was in, you know, Fang Gang's Discord. I was in something called Moon Boys, just like 3D art project. And one of the biggest things I would do in these Discords was I would draw like fan art, like, you know, just in my style of, you know, the stuff I liked that they had going on. Mm-hmm. And I would get these hints of like, yo, Javon, we love what you do. Like, and then I met this strange North African woman on Instagram who was like, yo, my whole family is obsessed with you. Like, and I was like, oh, that's kind of weird, but thanks. Like, so there was always these small, like, yes, you got something like that I've always gotten. So once I decided to dive completely in and I seen, and like Lopez wrote the first article about, you know, artist led projects and valuing the artist, and everyone kind of went crazy. Once people seen like that I was the concept artist behind Fishy Fam, like people went crazy, like, yo, Javon's art is like, people started seeing the like, I did 15 concept designs and showed them all to Miriam just for, you know, just for fun. And like, just seeing how people all just thought all of these like sketches and doodles were crazy. I was just like, I think seeing all of that love like at once is what like really just blew me away. Cause I'm like, I thought for like the longest, like I kind of just made peace with being like a niche, like underground king almost, like, oh yeah, I speak to a small percentage of people and they understand me. It's esoteric. And I just make peace with the fact that I'll never be popular. And I could just, in like, these few people enjoy this. So that whole reality of mine was blown away. Like, it was like, okay, I have something everyone likes. And it just, I don't know, it's still crazy to this day, man. I can't believe it. I get my mentions go crazy every day with people just, and they're losers. I feel like I still haven't even seen all of them, all 10K of the losers. So every day is a new loser. And I'm like, wow, that one exists too. That's crazy. But yeah, no, it's a way different feeling. I'm almost like drowning in love. Like, well, my heart can't take it.
That's a positive thing. I would love to think that that's a positive thing. And I want to ask before jumping over to talk about your team, you know, you've been an artist, like you said, for 11, 12 years, and we know that Loser Club is not even a year old. So would you say that this is the first time that you're getting this much love outside of your hometown or just worldwide? Like, this is the most your art has been seen by the masses?
By far. I mean, right. I want to say in like 2019, I got a Russ cosign.
Oh, hey,
but
okay.
that didn't move the needle like as much as this project did, obviously. Like, this project, mm-hmm. I mean, if you consider what an NFT project even is, it's literally crowdfunding for whatever the vision is. Like, our project just happens to be Javon's vision, and Javon is an artist, and Javon making this brand. So like, that's what technically all our NFT holders are investors. That's what the investors are here for. So like, there's never been this much, not only like love and support, but also capital support, like behind an idea of mine, like at all, by far. Like, this smokes everything.
That is true. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. And I mean, I've loved what the Loser Club is doing. And that's why I want to now fast forward a little bit. You know, you build the community, you and Miriam talk about this project, you have the Loser Club, it then comes out. So let's go to the building the community. So you would then have Lopez, you would have yourself, you would have Miriam, you would have Lady Invisible, you would have Lobzy, you would have other people like Cave Guy, and I'm sure I'm missing some as well. But what was it like to get those people beside you? You know, I met Lady Invisible. Excuse me. I met Lady Invisible in LA. I've known Lobzy for a long time, and they're great people. So what was it like to be able to get people like that on your team to build a community?
It was actually funny. Miriam is Nick Fury, bro. Like, she assembled, I say it all the time, like, she assembled, like, if we're the Avengers, she assembled the entire Avengers. She might be Captain America. I don't know. But like, she, because she is such a degenerate, she's aped into a bunch of projects. She's in these communities. She's just like, I started off calling her big sis, like, even though I'm like 4 or 5 years older than her. It's kind of weird now. But yeah, no, like she just was so much more knowledgeable in how things work in NFT because, you know, she's been degenning like full time for like the last year. Like, this is her only hustle almost, you know? That and like she was doing a bunch of other stuff. I don't know. But like she knew so many people from all these different communities and had such a good rapport that when it was time to say, hey, I'm friends with this amazing artist and we're trying to do X, Y, and Z, it was like nothing we had to sell people on. People kind of seen the art. They was like, who is this guy? She explained who I was, and they were like, yes. And that was it. I think the first couple of people she contacted were like Lopez, who is our other co-founder. He does marketing. He's also a writer. So like he did this article that kind of explained what we were, the like ethos of what we're all trying to, you know, accomplish. And yeah, I think Miriam just built the team out like impeccably. From the team getting built out, you know, she and a few other people, like myself included, agreed to keep the Discord private. I didn't really know anything about any of that. I mean, as far as like why and stuff, but she explained to me on how like you keep it private and you could let people in and this and that. And it's not necessarily to build hype, but it's more so to build like the community around the right things. So we, you know, I was personally letting people in the Discord one by one via DMs, as was Lopez, as was Miriam, as was Lady Invisible, you know, like, and it just, because of the way like she built the team from these communities of people she personally knew, I think it was easy for us to like build and grow our community on a personal level also, because it was kind of like everyone was kind of handpicking like the vibe, not necessarily the people. Like, we didn't necessarily just say, oh, you own Bored Apes? Yeah, let's get you and all your friends in this community. It was more so like, oh, your favorite color is green? Come in, bro. Like, it was like, there was no real basis. It was just, you know, human interaction. And I think that sense of humanity is what we not only bring, but it's what brought us all together. Like, you know, yeah.
I like that. No, I mean, that's the thing. So being able to handpick like that, like, it's a lot different whenever you're handpicking like we've seen the groups, like I said earlier, a spade is a spade. We've seen the groups, which I won't name, but we've seen when people it's the same group of people going around having the same stuff in the same closed groups. It's like, okay, yeah, I get that. I know what y'all are doing over there. But whenever that's like, realistically, that's me whenever I follow people. I only follow 200 people for a reason, but that's because I like to know who I'm following. I'm not trying to get shield giveaways 24/7. When I went to LA, I followed like 50 people because I got to see them in person, vibe with them. I knew who they were. I got to chill with them. I knew they weren't, you know, about nothing weird. And that's what I love. So being able to handpick in the community and like just let people in that share the same kind of vibes, they share the positivity. You see them being fun in spaces, yeah, come on in, bro. Like, we're not trying to gatekeep it by any means. I totally respect that. So now we have to where we are now, you know. Floor prices, definitely always, I don't care what nobody says. I feel like whenever you are a founder, if you say, oh, I don't care about floor price, or oh, I don't look at floor price, that's kind of weird, because that kind of just means to me like you don't care about nothing that's going on.
Yeah, nah, it's funny. Nah, and that's what I always try to clear up because I think I don't talk too much about finances,
right?
As you know, the creative, because all the finances do is they make me anxious and they make me, because I told them when we first minted out that I got the same feeling that I got when my daughter was born. Like, I have to do everything I can to take care of my daughter no matter what. So like when this project minted out and we had over 5K people holding this thing, I was like, oh, I got to take care of these people no matter what. So, you know, for the floor price for me, all it does is just make me spiral out. But I care about the floor price. I'm gonna make that like 1,000% clear.
Right.
And you know, verified on blockchain, it's not because I sell losers. I've bought over 50 losers and I've given them all away. I have six losers right now, bro. I'm done. I'm sick of y'all. Like, you know, but I care about the floor price. I mean, I know that the floor doesn't determine the value of a project. It determines who per individual is not liquid. Like,
Exactly.
so the floor, if the floor is low, it's because somebody needs some money out. That's all that means to me. But I know that this is one of the things determine, you know, some people look at in the market when they do the market thing. That's not lost on me. I care so much about it for the sake of the losers because I do want everyone to be able to take the profits they need to take and this and that. I do think it's weird if you don't, you like absolutely don't care. Like I understand, like if you don't care a healthy amount. Like
Right.
I want it, like I want to lift the floor, but I'm not focused on the floor as a creative because like I have to focus on what I'm doing. Like that's cool, but if you're like I don't care about the floor, I got my money, then that's kind of weird and that you, yeah, you it's kind of sus. Yeah. I'm
Yeah.
with you.
Yeah, I'm that's how I mean it. And the like I said, the fact that you are able to look at it from a standpoint, and those listening in, me and Javon are good friends. I texted him. He's one of the only creators I've ever texted in my life and been
Yeah, bro,
like,
and I
hey.
don't be giving. I'm gonna let y'all know, Sniper legit, bro. Like he like
Yeah,
6'4" in person, and he got a real sultry, you know, tone and voice. It's not just radio, you know what I'm saying? But like, I don't be giving my numbers out to people to be t hitting me up like Sniper real. That's all.
I appreciate that, man. And we got to meet in LA, and that's why I hit Javon up and I was like, hey, man, I'm not financially correct right now. I'm going to sell a loser, and I just wanted to let you know out of respect. That's what I was doing. And Javon didn't take that
Yeah, I thought that
in
was
no ill
crazy.
will.
I
Yeah.
thought that was crazy. I'm like, bro, why aren't you telling me, bro? I don't care, bro. Get your money. Like, that's what this is. Like, this is essentially what it is. Like, and before we had the art and the projects and the culture. And let's be honest, like, I think, you know, Loser Club brings a lot of good cultures. Like, you know what I'm
Yes.
saying? But before we had all of that, we just had people trading assets. Assets are marked by some type of margin of capital. So if you buy an asset for this much, you hope it goes up. You don't hope it goes up for no reason. You know what I'm saying? And I think everyone, we come from such a diverse like amount of backgrounds. We have to, you know, respect the ecosystem. Some people's flip is some people's flip. And that's, you know what I'm saying? That's between you and whoever you pray to. I don't care about that. I just hope that everybody gets there. So when bro hit me, I'm like, bro, in my head, I'm like, why are you telling me? I'm like, bro, get your money.
And that's why it was so crazy, just because I just had so much respect for Javon, and the fact that a lot of times in this space we've seen people get bashed for selling things and stuff. So to hear from the actual artist, someone from actually the team, totally respect the decision of the holder and support the decision of the holder. That was one thing that I loved getting behind, and one of the reasons why I support. And Javon made a good point. That floor price does not determine a community. You can still have a one hell of a community. I've seen communities with great floors. Like even still to this day, BAYC has a strong as hell community, but I don't follow none of them, so I don't see it. I see stronger communities out of other projects because that's what I mean, that's just what's around me. But yeah, it definitely shows. I've seen projects with, look at Crypto Ray Rays for an example, never
Yeah.
surpassed 0.2, which is fine, perfectly fine, but that community is unbelievable.
Yeah, shout out to Dose. He's the that's my guy.
Yeah, huge shout out to Dose. I love that guy, and looking forward to seeing all them guys in New York. So I did wanna fast forward to our present time. A couple
Oh,
more things. Oh, what's
can I
up?
say one more thing?
Yeah,
I'm
go
gonna give
ahead.
y'all I'm for people who don't really know the alpha in looking at a project, you look at two things, bro. You look at the volume. Well, three things. You look at the volume. If the volume's legit, then cool. And then you look at the activity. If they got some activity going on, or you can see a trend in activity, cool. The third thing that people miss, bro, you click on buy now and you look how many items are actually listed. And you compare that to the total number of items. You normally a healthy thing is a project will have 10% or less listed. That means that a project is doing just fine. That means everyone's not trying to exit. That means whoever needs liquid, whoever wants to sell is doing their thing. Respect the ecosystems and just look at these things before you jump in a project or out of a project, and you might be all right. Not financial advice. That's all.
No, I like that a lot. I mean, that there were some good points for sure. And with now I wanna get to the where you're at now. Y'all have built something crazy, you know what I'm saying? So regardless floor price, regardless all that stuff, your community is pretty damn wild. So
Yeah.
before we get into, because every podcast episode we do five questions, but before we jump into that, there's a couple more things I wanted to touch on. So Lobzy, I've heard on Spaces a lot. He's been really putting on for Loser Club. So shout out to him. What is it
Big
like
Lopes.
for you to see these spaces? And I'm going to let you talk on this for a second and just speak on the multiple names. So this is kind of a two part. One part would be, what is it like for you to be able to join these spaces? I've been in these spaces and people get hype whenever you join. I mean, they are really like, they love it, and that's beautiful. That is a beautiful thing. And not only that, but what is it like to have that community so driven and passionate about not only the art, but the project itself, you, all the members? And what has it been like for, and this was huge for me, like people like Fauntleroy, James Fauntleroy, and Kyrie Irving, and I've seen Dez Bryant talking to Lady Invisible. How surreal has that been for you? So if you could talk us through them little two things, I would love to hear it.
Man, people do be getting kind of hype when I get in spaces. I think it feels crazy. I guess what can answer both questions is and maybe I'll split up and get into it, but like I think it just shows like what was missing. Well, I guess that answers the first question. It shows what was And I'll answer the second one later. Sorry, I'm all over the place. My mind works really weird. I like it's like puzzle pieces, but like it shows what was missing. I can say a few off of the reaction I get and how just people speak to me. I can say a few things was missing. I think, being, close, this closeness or this sense of proximity to a project, to the founders, to the artist himself, I think that was missing violently. I was joking a lot. Shout out to Scott Martin with Doodles. But what in the earlier days of our project, because we're the next humanoid project, like there's Doodles and then there's us. There's a few others, shout out to them too. But one of the jokes I'd always made about like, the Scots and the X, Y, and Z artists were like they sit in Mount Olympus, they don't talk directly to people for the most part. They don't hop in spaces just to chop it up. You know what I'm saying? So I think when I jump in these spaces and see how the community is rocking, I'm like, wow, these people couldn't wait to have an artist that like they can actually talk to. Like, because in my head, I mean, I'm from the block. Like, if I'm gonna ask anybody for any money, I'm a, and I, they're gonna ask me why, I'm gonna let them know why. And then later on the line, I'm gonna keep communicating with them like, yo, you gave me that money and this is what I'm doing with your money. You feel me? That's how it works where I'm from. So like it, I just applied that same principle and I just come just to talk to my people. You know what I'm saying? I'm here, I'm working for y'all now. I'm unemployed, I'm self-employed, but I don't work for me. Sorry, my bro is calling me. I gotta dub him real quick. But nah, yeah, nah, because I forgot I got FaceTime on my iMac too, and it kind of threw me off. But yeah, like I think the space was missing, not only that proximity, but the second thing is they just was missing everybody. I think this space needs everyone. Like I am a black man. Whoop, surprise. But no, but not like, oh my God, he is. He's not purple. No, but not like when I first started talking, like after the whole Fishy Fam thing, shout out to HBA and all that, like a lot of people were just listening to me talk in space. They're like, I could listen to this guy talk forever. They were like, yo, man, I just love your vibe. I just love your energy. I just love the way you talk. And I'm just like, in my head, I'm like, I'm just an ordinary black dude in my head. So I'm like, there's just missing, this space was just missing so much different cultures. I think they needed, for a lack of better words, like a real one like in the space. They needed us in this space. They needed to see what we can bring. And we bring good things when we're allowed to, you know? And I just want it to be a testament of that. And every time I get in these spaces, like the losers, they get hyped to see me, but they know they can treat me like an ordinary guy. When we have our draw sessions, they let me know when something's trash. They be roasting me. They make jokes about me. Like, we really kick it on a level to level. I'm not a god to these people. I'm just a cool dude who drew some art they like. And I think we were just missing, that's all I see, is that we were just missing this human level of interaction. And we were missing different cultures in this space. As far as like celebrities and stuff going on, it's getting crazy. It's getting kind of crazy. as a musician, I've always had some kind of like, I've always touched like the light. Like James Fauntleroy we've been following each other on Twitter for like the past 5 years, because he's seen this music video that I animated, and he was like, "Oh yeah, you're a genius. You're weird, just like me." And like, but he, you know, he's an underground god. Like, you don't see him doing a lot of stuff publicly, but he's in every important song's writer credit, stuff like that. Like, so
Drake,
like,
that's his biggest, yeah.
Yeah. So like, at some point, like around when that happened, I settled on being like an artist for artists. Like, and so I've always gotten like, even like with the Russ co-sign, like he was like, "Yo, Javon's going to be huge." And nothing happened after that. But like, I've always had these like glimmers of like important people knowing what's up with me. But now it seems like it's not just about me as much as it's about like this project and this culture we've built, like me, the founders, and the community, specifically the community. Because like, even with Kyrie Irving, like the community was throwing that space. And they were chilling. They always throw spaces. And then he jumped in the space. Like, that's on them. It wasn't orchestrated. I didn't have anything to do with that. That's all just the community work. But like, I think it's just wild to see, like, I can birth an idea. I can plant a seed. You know what I'm saying? And then a bunch of people can water it and take care of it. Like a community garden. You know what I'm saying? We literally have a community garden. And I don't think one seed alone, I could just go to Kyrie Irving with a seed like, "Here, bro, I got this seed for you." I can't go to any of these people. I hope this makes sense on the playback, but like, I can't just have a seed and be like, "I have this thing. All these famous people, come look at this little seed I have." I think it definitely took me planting a seed and a gang of people watering it, speaking life to it. Cause you know, you got to really talk to plants and trees, cause the carbon dioxide is what feeds them, X, Y, and Z. That's why I tell you to talk to plants and whatever. But like, it took like everybody to make this thing so like on the level where it even attracts the, you know, it's on the radar of all these famous people. So just, I don't know. It's just been crazy to me, but it's been like a stark, like sobering reminder that like, I wasn't going to get this far without y'all, like, you know, and that's, I'm humble and I'm grateful for that, you know?
I love it, man. I mean, you've done a lot, you know, I've seen a lot of people recognize you, and whenever they do recognize you, it's always for the same thing. That is for being humble. That is for being genuine. That is just for being a nice guy. And the realness is something this space does lack. A lot of people follow the next man, woman, and just try to chase whatever the bag may be. But there are true people in this space. There are people that you can gravitate towards. I know one that we share is Klon from Cool Cats.
My
Catch.
Guy,
you know,
that's big homie.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good guy out there in the space that I feel like people can gravitate towards and not be let down. I met him in LA. He was a very open guy. But I do want to ask before jumping into the five questions. Finally, we've talked through Loser Club, kind of the before, getting through, and now to the present where we're at. So I do want to ask, what is next for Javon and Loser Club? Are you going to pop up at NFT NYC yourself? Are you going to chill back, let other people go? I don't know what you have planned, so I don't mean to put you on the spot there, but
nah, love.
Ultimately, what's next for the project and just like the whole realm of things?
Word, man. We are doing something for NFT NYC. Details will come out whenever, details come out. I can't give too much alpha on it. I'm kind of watching everything closely myself, because if we pull off what we're trying to pull off, it might be pretty big. I don't know. I can't speak on it, but I might be there. I don't know. I might, play hooky. I might, you know what I'm saying? I might come dressed as like the Blue Power Ranger. You know what I'm saying? You might, you know what I'm saying? I might dress up as Klon. You know what I'm saying? You don't know who I might be out there. You know what I'm saying? But nah, it's fun times ahead, man. I think our main focus right now, well, I'm finishing up this little animated video for, just the losers to have. But yeah, the event is our key focus right now, because I think that's gonna, we're trying to have like a standout impact at NFT NYC. We did our loser event 10 days prep, super last minute. It was kind of orchestrated by by one of the losers whose friend owned a bar downtown LA. And we had such a good talked about event for something that was so unofficial, that like we're trying to just make sure we do something kind of grandiose this time around. But yeah, NFT NYC just being the biggest focus. I'm trying to stay at my creative peak. I'm still drawing, I'm recording music, I'm making beats. Trying to stockpile on content whenever, we do get around to like, okay, Javon, it's time for you to drop more art. I'm trying to think, the us are because I'm trying to think of stuff I can say that I won't get in trouble for saying.
No, you're good. You're good.
But nah, I'm good. But yeah, nah, just it gets greater later. We're working on some stuff, man. Hopefully it all just works out and then I can kick back again. It's like funny because like at NFT LA, people were asking what was next for the losers, and I couldn't tell them that like we're collaborating with Kyrie Irving. Oops. Yeah, we're collaborating with Kyrie Irving to some capacity still. It hasn't happened yet. A lot of stuff going on. But yeah, just trying to keep a lid on stuff, but also sound like you're actually working on stuff is crazy. Like, because when you're trying to keep a lid, they just feel like, oh, y'all ain't got nothing. And then something happens, like, oh, y'all got something. And then 3 months later, they're like, oh, wait, y'all really don't got nothing. And then we got to do it all over again. But it's cool. We could tango.
Okay. I'm excited, man. I'm excited. I hope to see you in NYC. And just like off the top of my head, I'm pretty sure I know a basketball player that we've talked about that plays out in NYC, but I don't know. So jumping into the five questions with you, some of these are a little hard. Some would say some of them are super, super easy. The first one, I'm pretty sure I already know the answer to this, but I want you to go ahead and answer these with the best that you can. Number one being, what is the most important thing in your life?
The most important thing in my life is family. But
Absolutely.
I guess, we could even, zoom out a little bit. Community. I've learned coming from like, a single parent home, and my partner comes from a single parent home. Now we have this kid who has two grandmas, no real grandfathers, but like she gets babysat by my best friend and his partner, and we, ship her to her cousins, and like we have so many people who aren't blood but also aren't immediate family pouring into this kid. So like the broader scope would be just community. Like I do everything to further my community, because my community is the thing that's pouring into, my child.
I love that. I love that. I know you're a big family guy. I know you're a big community guy. So I knew that was more than likely going to be the answer, but it's still so beautiful to hear. The second one being, what is an obstacle that you have overcome that has helped you get to where you are today? Rather it be, and it don't have to be just NFTs, it could be NFTs or just in general life. And that's for
And
all these
not
questions.
existentially, I think I dealt with a lot of disillusionment, man. Especially around the time where I dropped out of school. I only went to school because everybody told me to go to university. I didn't really want to go. I kind of always wanted to rap and like paint. And then like I stopped going to church with my mom, because I left, the house. And you get to an age where like you start questioning like your belief systems, and either you come out stronger or you come out confused. And I think I went through a lot of both. But I think overall, you know, wrestling with, you know, the concept of existence itself, kind of, it made me, like, I think it empowered me creatively, because I stopped living within, you know, like, one frame of thinking, like, and, you know, for lack of, you know, not to go too in depth, and that kind of, you know, affected everything I make. So yeah, I think just, you know, overcoming, like, my own existential dread kind of pushed me. I'm still very crazy and I have a lot of madness in my heart, but, like, I'm learning how to, day by day, I'm learning how to use that madness and make cool things. So that is the thing to overcome, you know, just the madness itself.
Yo, I like that, man. And I love that you take us on this journey with you and you allow us to be a part of it, and just being able to hear you grow throughout this whole podcast and on your journey. You know, I see you tweet and I see you talk about it in spaces and just talk about it in general, but seeing you grow and trying your hardest to become a better man and just become a better human in general. I love that about you, man. That's something that I really admire about you.
Man, absolutely. You know what I'm saying? And that's, I guess because this is recorded, like, and that's the thing, man, like, you're going to be working on yourself until you die. So, you know what I'm saying? You know, be easy on yourself if you're listening, you know?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
We're all the same.
Absolutely. And this is more of an easier one. So when you leave the house to go out, what are at least three necessities that Jayvon brings with him? Now, I know people usually say, like, phone, wallet. Is there anything else extra that Jayvon got to bring with him whenever he leaves the house?
Nowadays, I need headphones.
Okay.
Which is kind of crazy because, like, the whole new phones not taking headphone jack, and y'all think I got money, but I don't got AirPods. So, like, there's always a specific pair of headphones I need for my phone out of all the headphones I have. I need my headphones. I need my fanny pack, because my fanny pack is what I carry my iPad mini in.
Okay.
And I need, the third thing is a tie between chapstick and a bottle of water, a water bottle. I have a Supreme water bottle that I don't know where I put it, and I've been going crazy these last couple of weeks, but I haven't gone nowhere, thankfully. But yeah, nah, I need a water bottle and I need chapstick. Those are, so I guess I got four things.
No, that's fine. That's fine. That's some necessities. And I think here starting, I don't even want to say starting in New York, I need to start before New York. I need to start keeping at least a water bottle around me to stay hydrated. Not that I don't drink enough water. I just need to, I don't know, man. I've been big on my Voss and Fiji water here recently. So I've been on my water kick, you know, I've been on my stuff.
That's good.
So fourth would be, what is one thing that you would like to do before you die?
One thing. God dang. Just one?
It don't have to be just one. You can give me a short little list or something, but I didn't know if maybe you had one thing that, like, for me, I really want to go skydiving.
Damn, you trying to die quick. It's like, nah, I'm good. Nah, that's cool. Skydiving's cool.
I would be so down for that, man. I could only imagine the adrenaline rush. And I really think that, like, doing something like that could really just put into perspective how small you are in this world. You know,
that's
you,
true.
Falling back down to earth and seeing everything in that perspective, like, you are really just something so small in this world, not in a bad perspective, but, like, doing all this, imagine, look at all the things that you're doing and then look at how big this world is. So you're making a impact, man.
Right. I got two things if I may.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because my biggest thing, it's not really grandiose, but it's, like, big to me, is I wanted to own land and own a house.
I like that.
My mom has never owned a house. I don't think my grandma's ever owned a house. I don't know who ever owned a house in my family, but I want to be able to, when it's time to die, be like, here, Yumi, at least you have a place. Like, you could figure the rest of this out. Like, you know, but I just feel like there's such a like resource and comfort and safety and ownership of something like that, you know, before they come take everything away and, you know, plug us all up to the matrix, right? But nah, so that's my, like, deep, you know, serious one. I want to own properties that I can have, just not multiple. I'm not, like, a venture capitalist. I'm not one of those guys. And if you are, respect to you, you know what I'm saying? I don't judge you, you know what I'm saying? Whatever. But, like, I would be good if I own one okay size house that my daughter can be in for as long as she wants until I die. Like, I'm not into the whole kicking my kid out at 18 and this and that. Like, no, like, it's about community. And I want to make sure that, like, I'm setting my daughter up to explore, like, so she doesn't have to survive, like, you know. But yeah, the second thing would be I want to, dang, there's a lot of stuff I want to do, man. I just don't want to die, bro. No, man. I'm kidding. I'm good with death. That's cool. It's just, it's, you know, it's biology, man. But nah, I want to either paint a mural or I want to paint like a 12-foot canvas before I die. Right now, I'll probably be able to paint a mural before I get to paint a canvas that big. I just don't have the space to, because, you know, I live in an apartment, I don't own my own property or land. I can't, you know, just whip out a 12-foot canvas and get busy, even though I might have a little time to now. But yeah, I just want to do a super big visual art piece before I die. And I know that's more attainable. Like, I can do that by the end of this year if I play my cards right. But there's just, those are the things as a kid that, like, I want it, you know, I want it to own a house and I want it to do a big art piece somewhere important. That's all.
And I'm going to tell you who specifically, what some people might know what I'm referring to whenever I say it, but whenever we get off this call, I have somebody specific that you could easily probably do a mural for if you're going to be in NYC. And once I give you the details about that, it would be bro, so sick. So I'll tell you about that after this call. And I like that. No, the first one, owning property, I tell you what, you know, I know you're a smart man. I think you should definitely also look into franchising some restaurants.
That's like, fire.
Like a Chick-fil-A. Because, I mean, imagine being able to be like, yo, you walk in that Chick-fil-A. Like, yeah, I mean, you're not paying the employees out of your pocket. I don't believe nothing like that. But being able to franchise and be like, yo, like, this is my store. Like, this is doing something like that in itself. It's also property, also brings revenue. And I think you're kind of like myself. It's all about building something for after you're gone as well. So being able to give that to your daughter, not necessarily the restaurant, but being able to give your daughter something, whether it's a house, leave her money, just leave her some kind of navigation or guidance in this cruel world. I think that's just beautiful. I like that a lot. I really do. The last question is super easy, pretty simple. I'm not going to say easy at all, but it's kind of simple, especially in this bear market. But if I gave you 200 ETH and you had to spend it on only NFTs, what are some big purchases or plays that you would make personally? And this could be for trading. This could be for collecting.
Yeah.
But this is your own personal wallet.
200 ETH is a good little,
especially right now. Yeah,
it's cool. I mean, ETH is, you know, still down, but that's still a cool little bag.
But it has to be all spent on NFTs. No holding.
See, that's crazy because, like, I got paid a cool amount in, you know, when we minted out. Like, obviously, I didn't take all the bread, and it's all on blockchain. I got 30% of the mint because I wanted to make sure that we put a chunk of it in the project and that everyone was paid well. So I'm not some money hungry guy. People try to call me like people think that I, like, you know, took a bag and ran, but I really didn't. Like, I'm still very much working for my money.
You didn't run nowhere.
I played it fair, man. I played it real fair. You feel me? But so now,
you know, 200's a decent little 200's chunk.
200's okay. 200 is real good. But, my thing, I brought that up to say, like, when I first got paid, I put money away in savings, obviously, because I have a family. I'm trying to buy a house.
Absolutely.
But I bought some NFTs. I bought 4 cool cats, and not at the height and not at the prices they are now. So I'm at a loss. I'm a little overexposed. I got my losers. I got some dead friends. I think I would buy more dead fellas. Okay. Because I only have one. I'm trying to think, because, like, I have all the projects I already want, so I probably would, like, buy the rarest ones in all the project for whatever they're being sold for.
So would you buy an ape?
I don't want to say fuck no, but nah, I wouldn't. Only because, like, well, first off, I'm not gonna hold you, I was just about to tweet it too, the mutant apes have been, the art's been growing on me, I'm not gonna lie.
For
I'm
real?
Really, Yeah, man.
I
I don't
hate
know what
it.
it is.
I hate it. I can be
I
on
hate the
recording all
Bored
day. I hate
I
it.
hate the Bored Ape artwork. I mean, there are some Bored Apes that I love to death. Like, shout out to Bando, shout out to Secrets. But like, as far as just an artist standpoint goes, I just was like, okay, it's just Bored Ape. But like the Mutant Apes, the more I look at them, I'm like, they put a lot of detail and a lot of like thought into every trait. Like, it's ridiculous. I don't think I would buy either though, only because like they're almost at their top. You know what I'm saying? No one knows where any of this stuff is going to go, and or what the value of these memberships are going to be long term. Like, I might buy a mutant ape. I'm not gonna hold you. If I had just 200 laying around, I'm gonna buy a couple mutants. I like the mutants a lot. I'm capping.
That's
But nah,
crazy.
I think I would buy the rarest, like Deadfella. I'd buy the rarest Cool Cat. You know what I'm saying? If anything, I think I'm going to just be a floor sweep. Like right now, I'm looking at my portfolio and I got all the NFTs like I really wanted when I was broke. So like I'm not hungry no more. But I think I might be the guy to come that I wouldn't shill it or engagement farm on Twitter, like,
Bro.
which project floor should I sweep?
No
But
doodles?
I might buy a doodle. I might buy a rare doodle.
I feel that.
There's something with doodles that I'm keeping my eye on before like I've purchased any. But it's I do like the art. Shout out to Scott again. But no, I think I would be the guy who would just sweep all the projects of the artists I like personally.
Respect that.
Honestly, like, yeah, no, I like Dose, I like Ariel, I like Klon. Well, I can't afford to sweep a Klon floor, but like I like, myself, like I'd like, the Galverse. Let me see who
Yeah.
else. I think I would spend a lot of that liquid just sweeping, s projects that are slept on by my artist friends. I'd probably text all my artist friends like, "Yo, what y'all doing?" And they'd be like, "Oh, we're doing this, this, and that." And I'd be like, "Cool, I'm in." Like, if I had the money right now. But if anyone doesn't, if for those who think I'm rich right now, bro, check my wallet.
You can see he does not have 200 E on him right now.
Not at all. Not at all. I put away whatever I needed in savings and I'm just surviving, bro. I'm one of y'all. And
I feel that,
it's
man.
crazy because like the money that I do have, I can't really touch. If I touch it, guess who's going to pack her bags and leave and take my daughter?
I
Yeah, I
feel
real
that,
yeah.
yeah.
It's real life stuff going on, man. But now it's all in good fun, man. I would be a floor sweeper for the most part, and
I
I
like that.
definitely, I only got one Ray Ray in my wallet, and he lonely. But I'd sweep floors. I'd sweep floors,
I
especially
like that,
since
man.
I'm exposed to the projects I already like. So yeah, it would just be time to just, do my own market manipulation. You feel me?
I mean, it's a respectful route, man, and I like that you're banking on your friends. That's been a big route that I've taken from the very beginning is banking on the friends. That's why I
Yeah.
have 60 plus Ray Race because I banked on Dose early on because he was a great guy. But
Right.
I mean, that was all five questions, man. I
I
mean,
will
you're
say though,
good.
I would put like 40 ETH away for one of one artists because I got some homies that deserve, some players.
I respect that. I mean, it sounds like the grand play is you're banking on friends. And
Yes.
overall, I respect that. But Javon, I mean, that's been the five questions. We've had one hell of a
Hey.
podcast. We've been at this for about an hour. So I just want to say, from me to you, man to man, friend to friend, I appreciate it so much that you came on here. Especially, I've said this a lot on the podcast, but this was kind of also, again, a short notice. But we did plan this for a while. So I can't thank you enough. For doing this on your free time. And before we do go, I always want to ask, is there anything that you want to leave the people with? Anything you want people to know? And like basically, who is Javon? Like, what do you want people to take away from this?
Bro, man, I'm just like you, man. And I feel like I just said that because I'm making my partner rewatch Attack on Titan, and we just hit season four, and Eren Yeager just said that to Reiner. He was like, "I'm just like you, Reiner," before he destroyed Marley. But nah, yeah, no. For those trying to get in, man, I'm just like you, man. And for those who like are the gatekeepers who kind of control who gets in. If you like me, bro, there's tons of me out there. Like, there's a Javon in one of these discords right now drawing that doesn't believe like that they'll ever be uplifted. Like, if you guys just open up the degree of inclusion a little more, however you can, whether it be by employment or just by, you know, boosting somebody up, uplifting somebody, you will see a lot more cool stuff happen in this space. You know what I'm saying? That's all.
I love that. I definitely, I've been saying it a lot more. I've been seeing a lot of exclusivity whenever this is supposed to be an inclusive community, but I think people are trying to get better of it whenever they get, because a lot of it's being brought to light. And, you know, I'm a big firm believer of whatever is done in the dark will be brought to light. So we'll see it, you know, anyone doing bad or ill will, it will be brought out. So,
yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? Thank you so much for coming on here, Jayvon. I hope you've had a great time. I've had a great time. This has been a good podcast. And for everyone listening in, go check out Loser Club. Go check out Jayvon on Twitter. You know, talk to him in his Discord. He's an active guy. He's not one of those people that'll just hide from the people. He's very, very active, does drawing sessions literally in spaces when he can. Like, he's there. He's there. So once again,
yeah, man, I ain't run off with nobody bag, man. Stop telling people that. If you out there telling people that.
He's here, man. He's here to stay for the long haul. So once again, brother, thank you so much. And
bless. Thank you.
Absolutely. And everyone, this has been episode 25, and we will be seeing y'all next week. Peace out.